But that being said, our sermon text, I'm switching things around this week. I don't know why. I mean, I have to trust God. I'm not going to blame it on him. If it's terrible, it's not him. And if it's good, it's him. But anyways, I feel like someone needs to hear that God is in control. And maybe I need to hear it. But God is in control. He still holds us. And it's amazing how we can so quickly come into fear. So we're going to read from 1 Kings. And we're going to talk about Elijah, a very powerful prophet of God that God used in mighty, mighty ways. And 1 Kings chapter 19, we're going to read verses 4 through 8, but we'll be referring to a few different parts of this book of Kings. So we'll read this in Jesus' name. 1 Kings 19, verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life. For I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and he slept under the broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came and again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and he ate and he drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights, Horeb, the Mount of God. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word. Oftentimes, Father, we forget that all of this points to you, your provision, your protection, and your strength. And Father, there are times in our life where we feel like just laying down, saying enough is enough. And yet, Father, you, by your grace, won't allow us to do that. But rather, you encourage us and you strengthen us. So we ask that you would draw our eyes away from the world and that we would see you and know you. For truly, you are good. We ask that you would sanctify us in the word. Father, you set us apart for your purpose. So sanctify us and allow us to be your light. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. You ever feel overwhelmed? I mean, maybe you don't. Maybe you're invincible, and that's pretty cool. I would like to be invincible. Sometimes I think I'm invincible. Sometimes I think I can do more than I really can. But the reality of it is that we live in a very interesting time. Whether we want to admit it or not, it is an interesting time. But God is still on his throne, and I think that's something that we have to understand and know very directly. That he is still there, he is still governing and watching over us, he is still protecting, and he is still our provision. And sometimes I think we get overwhelmed by everything we see taking place. And we wonder, what is the reality? Well, the reality of it is this world is never going to save us. This world really is a temporary place. And God has something much greater for each and every one of us. But even while we're here, even while we're amongst this earth, we still have the protection and the provision of the Father. Doesn't mean that we're going to have everything say we want. That's hard for us. That's really what Jesus' text is about in the Gospel of John that we're not preaching on today. They were chasing after Jesus really because he filled their belly. They felt comfort from him and they received something earthly from him. And how much of our life do we spend chasing after the earthly? I'm no different. I'm not sitting here in judgment over anybody. Maybe just one more car. Maybe just one more TV. Wouldn't it be cool to get that lake house? Maybe it'd be awesome just to get 20 more acres. My neighbor's got 80 and I got 100, but if I could just get 20 more. And I'm not preaching against any of this. What I'm saying is our eyesight often is limited by our earthly things, what we can see here. Yeah. And so you come to this point where when is enough enough? God can give us great victories. God can give us great, powerful stories. And it's so amazing, I don't even need to look at you, but within 2 seconds when I face adversity, I can become afraid and pull away. Elijah was no different. He was extremely well used by God in powerful ways. Just previous to our text here, Elijah, in reality, he basically allows, God uses Elijah to allow the rain to come again. And it's interesting because he has a great victory even over the gods of Baal. He has great victory over those prophets that really prophesied for Baal. But Elijah went through a very difficult time in this previous chapter. He felt like he was the only one. Have you ever felt that way? He felt like everybody else had abandoned God, and he was the only one that was left. And so he goes directly to Obadiah, really, and he talks to Obadiah, and he says, you know what? Go tell your boss, right? He says, go tell your boss, he says, that I'm here, Ahab. And Obadiah, he actually protected the Christians, or well, the Israelites of the time. He protected them. Jezebel was seeking to bring destruction to all the Jews and all the prophets of the Jews. And so now, Obadiah took these individuals, hundreds of them, and he hid them in caves. And he fed them, and he took care of them. Think about that. Hundreds of people. And God preserved Obadiah through all of this. But now Elijah says to him, go tell Ahab that I'm here. And Obadiah instantly turns to the fleshly side and says, what, do you want me dead? If I go tell Ahab you're here, he says, you're going to disappear. And Ahab is going to come after me because I became a liar. And I led him on a false trail. That's more or less the way I see it. And Elijah says, no, that's not going to happen. I will be here. And then he turns and he confronts those individuals, the prophets of Baal. And he turns around and he stands very confidently in the victory of God. And he says to them, we're going to have a competition here, guys. I want you to find two bulls, and we're going to make altars. And we're going to sacrifice our altars to our God. Little g for them, big G for him. He says, and when we do this, he said, the one that is consumed by fire, when you call on your God, the one that consumes the sacrifice with fire is the true God. They're game. They're on. You betcha. We got this. We're going to win it. So those of Baal, they take their calf or their bull and they put it on an altar and they're doing every kind of dance, hakey lunta, whatever it could be, to get fire to come down from heaven. And Elijah, he's not intimidated at all. He stands in the boldness of God and he says, keep going. Maybe he's bored. Maybe he's sleeping. Keep going. Maybe he's on a journey. Nothing happens. So then they take Elijah's offering, they put it on an altar. They do, you heard the story before, they pour tons and tons of water on it. They do all of these things to try to prevent it from happening, right? and he doesn't care. Do it. Put snowbanks on that thing. We don't care. Do whatever you got to do. And then he goes to prayer to God. And God strikes that thing with a lightning that consumes everything. The rocks, the altar, the bull, the water, everything. He has victory. And in that victory, he orders that all these false prophets are taken and executed. One man against hundreds, 450 on one side, 400 on the other, 950 men. And they're annihilated. He stood in the power of God. That's pretty cool. And then Jezebel says something. Elijah, I'm going to make your life miserable. I am going to hunt you down. I am going to make your life miserable. No man ever wants to go after a woman scorned, right? What happened to his confidence? We are Christians. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be afraid of what's happening out there in this world. We don't need to be afraid of what's being said across the news things. We don't need to be afraid of any of that. We need to trust and know that God holds us in the palm of his hands. And sometimes we hear something on the news and we get overwhelmed. And we live in fear. And then we turn inward. And then we want to go lay on our bed and we don't want to get up in the morning. I don't preach this to you. Not alone. I preach it to myself. That we serve a living Christ. That we don't serve a historical Christ. He is still boldly at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for each and every one of us. We don't answer to the governments of this world. We answer to him. He is our protection. He is our provision. Nowhere in Revelation does it say life is going to get easy and it's going to be a dream. But what it does say is keep your eyes upon the cross. Keep your eyes on Christ Jesus because he is the answer. But we live in this world where we work so hard for earthly things. I'm no different. And we put our trust often in what we've accomplished and what we have, and we're afraid of losing that. But tell me, great-grandma's precious locket that you have around your neck, are you taking it to heaven with you? That hunk of land that we work so hard for, are we taking it to heaven? I don't say these things aren't important. I'm not saying that I don't have the feelings of that we need to preserve. But God is our preservation. Christ Jesus has paid our debt. God the Father sits on the throne, and Christ stands before him to give us victory. Elijah had all these powerful things take place in his life. And I'm saying this because he's no different than we are in his humanness. After Jezebel turns around and threatens his life, threatens to make his life difficult and miserable, it says very plainly in verse 3, he was afraid. He became afraid. Jesse turns on his TV and watches what's happening in this world and becomes afraid. Jesse hears all of this new agenda that's going on in this world and you become afraid. We start hearing our currency is going to be folded up and we're going to go to digital, all this other stuff. And my humanness says, oh boy. But God is our provision. God is our protection. What do we really have need of? It's hard, isn't it? I don't really want to let go of stuff. but maybe our vision is skewed. So he became afraid. And so then he comes to Beersheba, and he says, basically, which belongs to Judah there, and he took off, and it says, but he went a day's journey, and he went into the wilderness, and he came down under a broom tree. And what does he say? He asked the Lord to take his life. It's kind of amazing. Now, you may think this is light. You may think that this is nothing. But this is serious. Where individuals that watch what's going on around them, hear the threatenings that are taking place, they'd rather die. I've encountered it with some elders. I've actually had elders tell me straight out, this is not where I grew up. This is not the nation I grew up in. I don't want to see what's going on. I'd rather die. And that's serious. It's hard. There's people that feel this way. Maybe you don't. Maybe you've never struggled in this area. But we have to be sensitive to those that are watching things decay and they really feel strong. But they don't know the answers because what can we do? This isn't a game. Real lives are impacted. What we can do is stand before God the Father in Christ Jesus and ask of Him to preserve, to pray, to preach the truth, to speak the truth, to enter into this world in love and bring the message of the gospel all the more. Because this, in reality, is what can change a world. That gospel. You may think, well, Pastor, this is way too simple. You're being way too narrow-minded. Let me ask you a question. Then why is the world going after the gospel so hard? Why is the adversary seeking to destroy the family and the church? We need to stand together in prayer, supplication to the Father, that by the power of His Spirit, He could sway the hearts. Pastor, we're so sick of you being political. I'm not being political. I'm speaking the truth. I don't care if it's politics. I don't care if it's addiction. I don't care if it's marriages. I don't care if it's abuse. We need to be in prayer to God the Father that through the power of His Spirit, He can sway the hearts of the people to conform, to change, to be in the image of Christ Jesus. That is our mission. I am not a governor. I am not a president, vice president. I'm not even a CEO. I am a pastor. And my position is to proclaim the truth of God and pray in behalf of the people and of the nation and of the world. You are the children of God. Scripture says very plainly, pray without ceasing. Are we praying? Are we asking for God to make an impact in this world? Are we asking for God to deliver? He went a day's journey, he sat down under the tree, and he asked that his life would be taken, that he could die. He says, I've had enough. I've had enough. He says, oh Lord, he says, take my life. He says, because I haven't accomplished anything more than my father's. I haven't done anything. And we look back and we say, Elijah, God has worked so powerfully through you. He's given you victory. But when we turn our eyes inward instead of upward, all we see is defeat. Our faith is not founded on our feelings. Our salvation as the church being proclaimed in this world is not about rules and regulations. We preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and we don't know anything else. We preach Christ crucified for the world. Very interesting. The Gospel of John, what I read to you earlier, it talks about that God has given all these to Him. And he says, and no one comes to the Father except that God would draw them. Who does God want? All people. 2 Peter tells you very plainly that God would not that any would be destroyed, that all would come to salvation. It is his desire. Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 16, right? For God so loved the world. He loves what he created. He loves each and every one. That he gave his only begotten son, calling to everyone, to all people. But that who would believe would be saved. We don't preach politics. We don't preach conformity. We preach Jesus Christ. And we preach his word. And we ask that God, by the power of his Spirit, would allow this word to impact a world that so desperately needs to hear it. That needs to know their value as the children of God. Everything we see in this world right now is, I want to say it's stupid. It questions everything. Questions your identity. Questions your value. Turns everything into a circus act. We don't care. Even we talk about politics. We don't care about politics. We care about performers. We care about people that promise you everything and do nothing. God has given everything for you in Christ Jesus. Doesn't matter your status in life. Doesn't matter your position, your wealth, your no wealth. Doesn't matter. Christ came for you. He's given life to you. This is what we carry. This is our torch. We enter a dark world and we enter in with the message of, for God so loves you. He gave himself. They need to hear it. We don't need to lay under a tree and say, Lord, take us because it's getting too desperate. Jesse in his flesh would love to do that. But his wife won't let him. And God won't let me. He asked that he might die, saying, it is enough, Lord, take away my life. I am no better than my father's. And he laid down and he slept under the broom tree. He's so depressed. There's a lot of people dealing with depression. But God won't leave him there. He sends a messenger. And that's what angelos in the Greek means. Angel. It's a messenger. He sends a messenger. And I love how this comes out in this way. This empathy that's given here. He touches him. And he says, arise and eat. Be strengthened. Receive from your God. In these times of difficulty, in these times of confusion, we are called to rise up and receive, to eat. Today we're called here to receive of the strengthening of Christ Jesus. It's not a trinket. It's not a joke. It is the reality and the reminder of what God has done for each and every one of us, to receive of his elements. Rise up and eat. And he looked, and behold, at his head there was a cake baked on hot stones. Not by chance, the bread. And there was a water jar there. And he ate and he drank, and he was so withered, he laid down again. He was wiped out. He was overwhelmed, emotionally drained. And the angel of the Lord came to him again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And there is truth to that. This journey that we're on called life is too great for us alone. I know, we're young, we're dumb, we think we got it all figured out. I've been there, still there half the time. But this journey is too much for us on our own. We are not islands. We are not our own rock. We rely on the Spirit of God. We rely on the body of Christ, which is his church. And we rely on the strength that he gives us through the feeding we receive. We receive feeding through his word, through prayer, and through communion, through baptism. There's many ways that God feeds us. We don't need to listen to the rhetoric of this world. That's garbage. We hear the words of God. Arise and eat, for your journey is too great for you. And he arose and he drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. God was not done with him. God still had great purpose for him. But he could not do it on his own. He couldn't do it on his own strength. He in reality needed the reviving of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we need it too. Each and every one of us. How do we receive? Today we're going to come and celebrate the body and blood of Christ Jesus. We receive, it says, given for you for the strength of your faith. How else do we receive? We receive through his word, not just on Sunday morning for 23.44 seconds. I know it seems like I've been going on forever, but that's how long it's been. We receive it by reading his word, meditating on his word all week. People laugh because I say, Lord, allow us to read your word for 5 minutes. 5 minutes a day. Listen to his word. Listen to his messages. Stop going by emotion. Stop going by what feels good. And go by what is true. That incorruptible word that God has given us. We are, of all people, so blessed. We really are. We live in interesting times. But don't you think during World War I, World War II, they were living in interesting times, difficult times? They pulled together. We can pull together too. For God so loves the world. For Jesus' name's sake.